Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, September the 2nd, 2005. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Clement Humbard of Hot Springs, Arkansas, Lake Hamilton, is the minister of this service.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Maybe? No. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new, refreshed tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16, chapter. So the disciples went forth everywhere, preaching the word. We don't need psychology, Christian psychology. We don't need Greek philosophy. We don't need a gang of put-up false stories. They went forth preaching the word, the eternal word of God, everywhere. And the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now get this straight right off. God confirms the word, not you and I. We claim we're trying to live and walk in the Spirit. Then we preach the Word and we go to every excess in the human flesh to try to get the Word confirmed. Preach the Word, trust God, have prayer, wait upon God, and get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit of God do something. Now there is a way to test what's going on today in the religious world. To me, it's very basic and simple. The measuring gauge, you know what I mean, a gauge or the standard, does it pertain to get the gospel out and build the kingdom of God? Every ministry and every dollar that you give and every prayer ought to be in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission. Mark 16th chapter and the Great Commission in Matthew the 28th chapter. There in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power, all authority has been delivered to me. My Lord and my God, all authority, all power has been delivered unto me. Now you go and preach the gospel. You know, the gospel is spelled G-O-S-P-E-L. The first two letters says what? Go. Here in Matthew again, he said this, now all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. I'm not very strong on the sweet by and by. I believe in the sweet down now. I believe we can have a sweet now to go to the goodbye. And if our heart's right with God and we're in the saints and have the inheritance of saints and the heir and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything over there waiting, it's for you. It's for me. I'm not going to worry about it. And I thank God for that hope beyond life and this earthly life. And there's a better place that we're going to. But brother, When I was small, I saw so many tears shed, ministers and choirs and testimonies. Oh, I'm just a pilgrim prodding through this world. But someday over on the hillsides of glory, bless God, God can make you a triumphant Christian, a victorious Christian right here on the hillsides of Garland County. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And here he said in Matthew, he said it in a little bit of different words. All authority, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. I don't care about the song and dance and this blessing or this way or four steps of anointing, anything else. All power and authority is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, all power and authority. And he said, now, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Here you're making disciples. You're teaching them something. Well, when you get saved, you're a newborn babe. And oh, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you haven't graduated. Boy, the way they strut around, you'd think they graduated. Man, they get a little anointing, the Holy Spirit. Some people are filled with the Spirit, but you know, they're a thimbleful. God wants to increase our capacity, see. I know they're a thimbleful because they're so narrow in their spiritual understanding things of God that a mosquito could land on their nose and peck in both eyes. Narrow-minded Christians. When you receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that He will teach you. Now you've got the ABC blocks. You just entered kindergarten. You haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. I remember the dear lady, I haven't seen her this time, Mildred. And so one time I was preaching, and I said, you know, all of us, we don't know it all, haven't got it all. Well, that made an impression with her, because after service she came over about 3 years ago, and she took me by both shoulders, shook me, and said, you don't know everything, and you hadn't got everything. Well, she didn't remember that I said, we. I didn't say you. I said, we don't know everything, and we haven't got everything. But he said, now you go into all the world, and he said, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or do all things. I thank God for the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because there is portraits of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the Sermon on the Mount is a word picture of our blessed Savior. With words and in language and communication through words, He painted a picture of Himself in the Beatitudes. Blessed, blessed, blessed. And I thank God for the Gospels. But then, in the book of Acts, after Christ had left this earth, and the Holy Spirit was outpoured, as promised, then what takes place? Book of Acts, they exemplify the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there was Saul of Tarsus comes upon the scene. Of course, God had to knock him down with the Shekinah glory. That's what happened. It's brighter than the noonday sun. And he fell off of that Pharisaic beast. The Bible doesn't say he's riding a horse, but the denominational, he got knocked off of all his religious pride, fell on earth, and then he's blind. He said, Lord, who art thou? And from heaven a voice came, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So Paul, anointed of God, starts writing the epistles. Poor old Paul. If he came to Hot Springs, he wouldn't say, what good eating place does Dr. Noel do you have around here? Do you have a good Chinese restaurant, Italian restaurant? I wonder if you have a good Arab restaurant, you know, where they make all of that No. You know what? He'd probably say, praise God, brother. What's your county jail like here? That man that God called was walking in a different world. He turned cities upside down for God in his lifetime, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And of course, there were others, but this dear one, Saul, our little one, in weakness, in affliction, in persecution, in stripes, in hunger, in fasting, shipwreck, in prison. God anointed him, and he started writing the great depths of the truth. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us of Jesus, and Jesus titled these things. And then Acts, with the knowledge they had, they exemplify them. And then we get in Romans, and it is the constitution of New Testament Christianity. It is the Bill of Rights. the articles of faith is the book of Romans. If you've never made a study of the book of Romans, my God, start on it right away, please. And study in the book of Romans. Not a thing is mentioned of the Holy Spirit in the first 7 chapters. But boy, look out at the bombshells in the 8th chapter. And then he starts writing, not only in Romans, but he writes in the other epistles. Then we have some of the other writers, James, Peter, John, Jude, and the aged John on the Isle of Patmos for the book of Revelation. But see, he said, go and preach the gospel. The gospel. And teach them to observe all things. Whatsoever I've commanded you to do, and lo, I am with you. I don't know about you, but I want that lo with me. Lo, I'm with you. Even to the end of the age or the end of the world. Would you please stand to your feet? Now, I want this audience, if you would kindly, every person here, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Would you please? I want you to lift your hand and repeat it. I want you to repeat this prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Now, let me make a comment. To repent, you must have and experience a godly sorrow of your sins. And you must repent of your sins. God can't forgive sins if we don't repent of sins. Now, let's say it one more time. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, please repeat this. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
See, we believe in our heart, not just our head. And no one accepts Jesus. Don't use that term, please. Let's get back much as possible, you and me, to biblical terms. No place does it say, accept Jesus. It said it is such a thing as an accepted time. As many as received Him. You must receive the things of God and receive Christ Savior. You can know about Him in your head and accept, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, be very religious. And you can miss heaven and die. Better you never been born by mentally accepting and not receiving. This is the Word of God. Now I want you to say again, Lord, and this is scriptural. Lord, I believe. Say it again, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now the Bible said if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is who He says He is, we're saved. We're saved. Now say this, everybody in the place, say, Lord, I receive You. My Savior, my Lord,
my Savior, my Lord,
and my King.
And my King.
Well, Brother Humbert, someday, I'm going to get you straightened out. You know the prophetic word, someday Israel's going to look up and they're going to declare Him King of Kings. He's not King now. You better go back to your Bible. He's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords presently. Doesn't make any difference what Israel does or doesn't do, what I do or Dr. Noel does. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords presently. Someday He might be received by this one, that one, but let me tell you, anything that God reveals Himself in His attributes, who He is, He's that from that moment on. Whole world can turn in disbelief and He's still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, when you say just what you said, I receive You, my Savior, Lord and King, you receive authority or power to become a son of God. This is wonderful. Now I want you to say this, Lord, I will with Your help obey Your word. See, from this day, every one of us, even a sinner in our midst, you're no sinner any longer. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but now if I'm saved by grace, I'm sanctified and I'm a saint. There are no dead saints. There's only living saints. Did you hear me? I'm saying the truth. All right. From this day on, we're keeping His commandments and following Jesus. Now, I want you to say this. Lord, may my life become a love song. Lift your hand and say it. My Jesus, I love Thee. See, Christianity is musical. And Brother Glenn says, well, Boersma and the choir leader way out there in Anders Temple when I was a young man said, I don't have voice choir. That's why the Bible said, make a joyful noise unto God.
I've been doing that.
I know you do. And that's what He does. All right. See, Lord, may my life become a love song. Everybody's running around singing the blues. Discord. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Boy, we ought to change that. We ought to change that to something like this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God doth deliver them out of them all. Now, your life becomes a love song. And you praise God for love, joy, and peace. You know, love is a learning process. You don't fall in and out of love. The Bible said, you younger women, you older women, teach younger women to teach them to love their husbands. I don't know what we think love is. Love can be learned like anything else can be learned. It can be taught. Now, just one or two more. Lift your hand and say, Lord, give me power to walk the walk.
Lord, give me power to walk the walk.
And talk the talk.
And talk the talk.
Now see, the Holy Spirit, if that's your determination, will guide you and reveal and comfort and empower you. One more thing. Lord, may my newfound life build your kingdom.
And
be a blessing to others.
And be a blessing to others.
Now, daily prayer and Bible study and church attendance and witnessing will make you mature and useful to God, and you'll be helpful to others. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. You have to be on the ball if you get around me. If you're thinking in second or slow, you better shift up to high speed and overdrive. All right. Now, you like that little prayer? How many like that prayer? Well, some of you run up here and I'll give it to you like lightning. Just take one. Just take, brother, here, you hand them out. You hand them out just one. Praise God. We're having a good time here tonight. Now, if I can find my sermon notes, I'll get on the sermon. You know why God demands, not suggests, but He commands and demands that we believe? Because through His mercy and grace we can believe. Anytime anyone says, you know, I just can't believe, that's never their problem. They refuse to say yes to God and yield themselves to God. The Bible said, he that believeth. Now, a believer, the ancient Anglo-Saxon word that we get the word belief from means it's two words, believing obedience. There's no such thing as believing without obeying. Now, get that straight. If you believe, you obey. James, the brother Jesus, wrote in his epistle and he said, faith without works is dead. He said, ironically, he said, show me your faith without works, but I'll show you the real faith by works. It's not works of the flesh or works of the law, but it works of righteousness. Pleases God. And He demands that we have faith. Now, a believer is an overcomer. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I give you power over some of the enemy. How much? Yeah, you correct it right quickly. I said you've got to get on the ball if you're going to be with me. Now listen. He gives us power over all the enemy. Are we believer or not believer? Yeah. Apostle Paul, I think, is in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. He said this, thanks be unto God who always causeth us to struggle, to wrestle, to fight the old flesh. If you're fighting the flesh, you're fighting the wrong battle. Get out of Romans 7 and get in Romans 8. And you won't be fighting the flesh all night. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And ministers waste all this time, my Lord, in Hot Springs. I can hardly go to a visit and slip in a church. And Glenn and I do. Many times we do it together. When we're not in meetings, we'll slip in a place. And they're making excuses for the flesh. Well, the old nature. Well, my Bible said if any man be in Christ, he has a new nature. He's a new creation. And watch, they excuse their anger, excuse their sin, and say, well, you know, we just listen here. When you get saved, that's your real nature. Satan stole it from mankind. Now you're back where you ought to be. We are partaker of that divine nature. A believer is an overcomer. A believer is a possessor. A believer, God causeth us to always triumph. You remember the Roman generals coming down the streets of Rome after a great victorious battle out on the battlefield in the known Roman Empire. They came in and all of the captives and the loot of war come in, and the army general has been declared a triumph through the Roman Senate. And he comes riding in a gold and ivory chariot with a wreath of flowers around his neck, and he's holding a golden staff, and there's a little slave running beside of him, spitting and cursing. So remind him, he's still a man and not a god. And Paul's mentioned the triumph. Thanks God who always come up. Thanks God who always causeth up the what? Grub him up. Be down in the dumps. Discouraged. Oh, I'm so depressed. Then you're sinning against God. Throw those pills away and just trust God. I ran across someone lately and they've taken 20 pills a day. Listen, I have a heart for suffering humanity. But I'll tell you, the medicine companies and the doctors have drugged America to death. And you better watch. Brother, better watch how you step on the cross. Walk in Jerusalem just like John. Your foot may slip and your soul get lost. Walk in Jerusalem just like John. In the book of Revelation, it said sorcerers, pharmacy, they're outside of heaven. Don't you rely on drugs. Rely on the great physician. Don't you make a covenant with death. Make a covenant with life and the life giver. My God, you'll say, well, Brother Clem, look at me, though. I'm 70, 80, 90 years old. I'll have to tell you again. Mark my Bible and show me which promises and scriptures are for under 50, under 70, under 90, under 120. My Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That's what my God said. Now, what did your God say? He said, bless the Lord of my soul and all is in me. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth some of your iniquities? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who heals some of the diseases? Who healeth all our diseases? Who redeemeth our life, present life, from destruction. What's the worst destruction that can come? Death. He redeems us from this. Did you know death is already conquered? We don't have sense enough to know it. 2 Timothy, I think, 1:10 says, Christ has abolished, done away with death. my Lord. He said, I'm the resurrection and life. I hope I can get back to that thought just a little later. But he said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's a loving God. You know, people say, well, here's why God will perform that miracle and answer your prayer. They'll say, here's why God will heal you. Now listen to me. He promised in His Word, and if you have faith, and they go through a big rigmarole, you know why God will heal you? He loves you.
Amen.
That's good enough. That's why He gave us the Word. He loves us. That's why He helps our faith and helps us to believe. He loves us. Praise God. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy? Did you notice I'm wearing a crown tonight? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? So thy youth, what? Thy youth will be renewed like the eagles. Christians, you have no business dragging around. He can put spring in your heels. He can make you leap out of bed at 90 years old and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad. And I challenge you to do that. And if you have any pain in your body, it'll leave. Darkness and light can't stay in the same body or the same room. And thy word, God said, giveth light. All right. A believer is an overcomer. A believer is a possessor. Now, I'm going to step on some toes pretty quickly. I like a minister. Listen, if a minister can't make me laugh, in the Lord, joy in the Lord to make me cry, I'm wasting my time. If he can't stir me up a little bit, I like to be stirred. But I like to be stirred by truth. Not some nonsense or some flake coming off the wall or someone trying to come up with some real odd thing. Seven bald-headed Jews in my vision, and they went to Washington and they presented a new flag, a lot of baloney. I have no time for all kind of foolishness and nonsense. But I'm still hungry from the Word of God. The more the Word of God you get, the more you want to get. The more of God you get, it just creates greater and hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
So, a believer is also a partaker of the divine nature. In 2 Peter 1:4, it mentions all of the promises and the great exceeding. Now, if I had a cantaloupe here, I say, this is a large cantaloupe. Yeah. Now reach over here and I get a little larger. I say, this is a great cantaloupe. You said, yes. Then I bring out a 10-pounder. Exceedingly great. The Bible said the exceedingly great promises of God, what are they for? That we might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is that lust? 1 John 2 chapter, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it goes ahead and said, if you have this lust, you're not in God. And it says, the lust and the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of the Father liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. And I want to tell you, if God gets through with you on this earth, you'll just take a step out into the glory world, not even know you left. An aunt of mine, they thought she was on her deathbed. They hadn't heard a thing from her for a long time. All at once she sat up in bed and said, I am that I am, the great I am. A lot of people that I know and I've preached to, that's the way they go. Said, Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. They're worshiping the name of God. Because God said there, this is my name and a memorial for me forever. And I thought that was great. It's in some books now. They're writing and they tell this story of different family members. We're partaker of the divine nature. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you become a believer, I believe I mentioned this at the last camp. I only spoke once. And that's fine with me. You know, if Brother Glenn said, and I stand back there, if he'd said, Brother Clement, the Lord's impressed me to call on Brother Angelo tonight. Brother, I just lift my hand and I say, praise God, Lord, please bless him. Bless him and use him. This my turf and your turf, we ought to grow up. Gang of spoiled brats and claim we're men and women of God. We're not. Claim we're mature, you know, I'm a bishop. Or I'm this. Or I'm that. I'm an overseer. Of what? Shouldn't be an overseer of anything if I can't even oversee my own temper and control. And could most people lose the glory and they lose the blessing with this hole right on their nose. That's why God said, study to be quiet. That's why God said, be still and know I am the Lord God. Now, a believer is a partaker of that divine nature, and a believer just believes God, period. Say aloud, Lord, I believe. Now, I want you to follow me here and get a little technical. See, we are not true products of true Christianity of 2,000 years ago. We're trying to be, and thank God that we're almost. I'm not saying we don't have a genuine experience, but I said the fullness of it and the full image is not there. Because we are Western world. The Bible is an Eastern book. It is written in the Eastern world. And we lose so much, and then in preaching explanation, sometimes we really screw it up and don't know. God just looks over all of it anyway, you know, and goes on blesses anyway. All right, now, believer. Now, if you're really saved, don't let anyone say, well, what do you believe in? Say, I believe God, period. And I love God, period. How many people love God? God? You love the Lord? Someone tell me why you love the Lord. Why? He first loved you. What else? He saved you. Thank you. What else? Delivered. What else? Died for our sins. These are good. What else? Come on. You know why really you love God and seek Him? Because He is God, period. Not because He blesses. Not because of His joy. There may be a time when the joy is not there. There may be a time you're in the valley. There may be a time you. Some people say, well, I just love the Lord. He's just given me so many friends. He can take all of them away from you. Now you just have God. That is why in Hebrews 11:6, it's hard for me to speak and not get to this verse sooner or later. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're teaching a Sunday school class and it's not in faith, you're wasting your time. If you come to this camp meeting, well, I didn't want to go, but my husband made me. You should have stayed home. But we pray God will break through that crust and have mercy and bless you just the same. But without faith, you cannot please God. Everything you do ought to be in faith. Now, you're believing something all the time anyway. You're believing right or wrong. You're believing positive and negatively. So why don't you just go and believe God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, watch this. He that cometh to God must believe that God will reward those that diligently seek Him. Is that what it said? No, it didn't. Better open your Bible. It didn't say that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. If you underline your Bible, open your Bible to Hebrews 11:6 and underline that God is. The first thing you've got to believe is God is. Now, follow me. I'm going to lead you somewhere. I'm hoping to. God is. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. It's always God is, who God is before what God does. That's why the children of Israel, they were satisfied with the works of God, but Moses wanted to know the ways of God. the children of Israel and Christians today, they want the hand of God, but they don't want the heart of God and the face of God. They want the blessings of God, but they don't want a divine romance and fellowship and communion with God. They just want... He's a reward of those who diligently seek Him. You got the cart before the horse. Everything begins with God. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. Any doctrine or anything that you start off other than God, you've already missed it. Why, Genesis 1:1 said, and here in act of creation, there have got to be five things in act of creation. Signs tell us there's got to be time, there's got to be power, there's got to be motion, there's got to be space, and there's got to be substance. Genesis 1:1 took care of creation. In the beginning, time, God, power, created, motion, the heavens, space, and the earth, substance. There it's all. Now God says, let's get on with something else. Everything begins with God. He that cometh to God must believe what? Now, how many know you're saved? If the gospel had been presented to you and me and in the churches our whole lifetime, and not compromise good people. Sometimes they don't know they're compromised. They're preaching the truth, but it's not the full, enriched truth. You know, you can have a watermelon. It's a real watermelon, but maybe it's no good, or it's not too good. So we get a gospel, and what happens? We get people in, and we don't get them to believe that God is who He is. God is all-powerful. God is omnipotent. There's nothing too hard for God to do. If you limit God in one aspect, you've destroyed the concept of God. He's not God. Someone else is God. You get it? Then He's all-knowing, omniscience. God knows everything from the beginning, from the ending, all the in-between. God knows everything. Oh, Lord, help us to believe. God's all-wise, all-knowledge. And then, God is omnipresent. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and sail out through space, God, You're there. God. Then the majesty of God. The glory of God. But we've got to limit this. But now, when you're saved, hook, line, and sinker, you ought to believe that God is, period, and God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Your salvation wasn't complete if a denominational church or a minister brought you to the place barely confessing Christ as Savior. Now, come on, honey bunch, and join the church. Let us baptize you. Now, every Christian that's really saved and born again, do you believe in miracles? God is a God of miracles, absolutely. Is God a God of healing? Absolutely. By His stripes we're healed. Does God answer prayer? Well, sometimes, if it be His will, then let me knock a sacred cow down right now. The Bible, in Jesus in Gethsemane, He already knew the Father's will. He'd already announced that He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Now, in Gethsemane, that horrible wine press of God. And every true disciple of Jesus, and that's a sermon in itself, disciple, but every true disciple of Jesus, sooner or later in your life, it may not be in this order, you're going to go to your Gethsemane. You're going to go to your Golgotha, the judgment hall. And you're going to go to your Calvary. And I'm not talking about considering ourselves, when Christ died, we died with Him. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about that. And there's certain things from these three things that happened to Jesus we can learn. If you go to your Gethsemane, and I can't spend time right now, but if you go to your Gethsemane, Father, this is an extreme case, once in a lifetime. Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. Now, what is God's will? Someone answer me. What is God's will? God's word is God's will. Say it.
God's word is God's will.
If that's not the will of God, it's a New Testament. And the testator had to die. This is the will, legally. All authority in heaven and earth. This word of God is God's will. Whatever the word promises is God's will. And even all the Holy Ghost people almost now will anoint with oil and pray 30, 40 minutes and say, "Now, Lord, if it be your will, heal our dear brother." They need kicked in the seat and slapped up the side of the head. If healing is in the atonement and by His stripes we're healed, it is God's will. Now, let's get off of the fence. But James said this, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What is God's will? God's Word. If we ask anything according to His promise, His Word, He hears us, and it is God's will. Do you get it? Jesus said, "The thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and more abundantly." You say, "Well, God put me in this affliction. Teach me a lesson." Is it funny? You never learn anything. If God is trying to make us holy by sickness and disease, well, boy, oh boy, you don't even believe what you're saying. Because every person says, "Well, it's God's will for me to suffer." Well, then why do you spend thousands of dollars and run to every medicine, every doctor around, every medicine you hear about? If you think it's God's will for you to suffer, then just lay up there and suffer. Say, "Lord, let your will, oh, let your will be done, oh!" You don't believe it. Now, I'm trying to get a truth over to you. Either you're a believer or not believer. Now, get off the fence. And if you're a believer, you've got it settled once and for all who God is and what God can do. Now, that brings me to this. All the church is wasting time preaching to the choir. 500 years, Cheryl, since the Reformation. 500 years have passed. And we're still telling the Christians what God can do instead of telling them who God is and who they are in Christ. All these great meetings, they're saying, "Now if you have faith, you know, God's going to heal you." You should have known that the night you got saved. You should have never lived anywhere below that. My God's a miracle God. God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. And I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.